It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome in to what is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Sean Merriman's going to stop by in an hour 20 from now. Ben Lieber, Viking sideline reporter, will join us to kick off the 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific hour. And let's start with a wonderful, and I mean an awesome ending to what we got to see in week one of the NFL season between the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings. JJ. How about those Minnesota Vikings? You know what? If my football team's going to stink this year, the New England Patriots, I may adopt the Minnesota Vikings. I may do a skull chant. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season started and then lose to Kansas City. But I look at this Minnesota team. I like Brian Flores. I love their defense. I look at the offense. Justin Jefferson's one of my favorite players in the NFL. Jordan Mason is an absolute steal. Aaron Jones is still effective. You don't even have Christian Darrisaw. You don't even have Jordan Addison, as Addison has a suspension for being a dope, and then Darrisaw is coming back from the injury. And you also have Adam Thielen, who's like one of the nicest guys ever. And oh yeah, by the way, you have a winner at the quarterback position. And I understand last night, it was ugly. It was disgraceful. J.J. McCarthy, for three quarters at times, looked lost on the football field. It looked like he was thrown into the deep end of the pool with no floaties on, and he was sinking to the bottom of the pool. That's what it looked like. And I had all these rats texting me, "Oh, still feel good about your Minnesota Vikings Super Bowl prediction?" Or you had these Ohio State fans who couldn't beat J.J. McCarthy. "Oh, look at J.J., he stinks. Hand off merchant." And then what did J.J. McCarthy do? He overcame adversity. He was tough. He's a leader. He rallied the troops and said, "You know what, guys? I suck to start this game. Who cares? I'm going to do what I've done my entire life, and that's be a winner." And that's what you saw. That's the difference between J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, right out of the gate, right? Everyone watching, let's put on a show. Him and Ben Johnson, they march right down the field. Boop, 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 touchdown. Oh, it's a new era. Oh, it's wonderful for Chicago. And last night, you saw the same old Bears. That's what you saw last night, where J.J. McCarthy could get punched in the mouth, could get humiliated on social media by a bunch of dopes. And what does J.J. McCarthy do at the end of the day? He walks off the field with a big fat smile on his face, and he walks off the field as a winner. And you want to know also why I loved that moment last night? And I'm a huge J.J. McCarthy fan. I'm not sitting there and telling you J.J. McCarthy is going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm not sitting there and telling you that J.J. McCarthy is going to be a great quarterback in this league. But my point with the Minnesota Vikings all offseason was this. Their defense is ferocious. Their defense is ridiculous. Their defense is going to make you pay. And we saw some of the hits that those guys put on the Chicago Bears last night. It was effing awesome. And then on the offensive side of the ball, when Christian Darrisaw is healthy, that line is good enough. You have two good running backs in Jones and Mason. When Jordan Addison gets back from his three-game suspension, only two games left, you have Justin Jefferson, you have Jordan Addison, and Adam Thielen, and oh yeah, by the way, you have TJ Hockenson, who's a really good tight end in this league. So if Sam Darnold, right, seeing Ghost Sam, Mono Sam, if Sam Darnold could go to Minnesota last year and get rewarded with a 3-year lucrative contract, why can't J.J. McCarthy just be just as good, if not better, than Sam Darnold? That's been my whole question this entire offseason. And oh yeah, by the way, I know he was coach of the year last year. Let's put some respect on KOC's name. Kevin O'Connell. Like, if you want to be serious here, Andy Reid, in no order, Sean McVay, and Nick Sirianni. I think those are the three best coaches in football right now. Could you say Jim Harbaugh? Could you say Sean Payton? Yes, you can. I'm not going to go there with John Harbaugh. I'm not going to go there with Mike Tomlin, but they're both top 10 coaches in this league. You know, you want to talk about Kyle Shanahan, be my guest. Like, there's a lot of coaches that you could talk about. But I think when you start these lists, and I know Kevin O'Connell hasn't had a lot of success yet in the postseason, but look at the consistency that he has really done and the way that he's developed that consistency in Minnesota. And it's a player-friendly environment, but there's a lot of coaches like McDaniel, you know, other coaches around the league that you look at them and you're like, okay, they're player-friendly, but they're a doormat. You know, Callahan with Tennessee. Guy doesn't even know what is a catch. And then he explains it the wrong way to the media. There's some coaches that are players' coach, but then they're a doormat. Kevin O'Connell's a players' coach now, but he's not a doormat. And what he's been able to do so far in Minnesota is very impressive. But last night, it really was a bleep you moment for Kevin O'Connell. To have your quarterback be that bad and to still win that game and for your team to, even when you're working behind the eight ball, to coach circles around Ben Johnson. Oh, I'll get to Benny in a second. But to coach circles around Ben Johnson, and at the end of the day, you would have thought that Caleb Williams, right halfway through the game, when he had one good drive, I know he was elusive, I know he avoided the rush a little bit and extended plays with his legs, but you would have thought at halftime, Caleb Williams was a top five quarterback in this league based off the analysis. You would have thought that Ben Johnson, they were getting ready to rename the Lombardi Trophy the Johnson. I don't know if that would actually be a good sounding name of a trophy, but you get the point, right? It was just a slobber fest over the Chicago Bears. And even in the third quarter, and I like Aikman, I think Aikman is the best in-game analyst that we have, but you would think the way that they were talking about Caleb Williams, that he was playing a great game. He wasn't. And it just shows you that in first impression could go a long way. Because in the first impression, Caleb Williams looked awesome. But after that, he looked lost as the game that did go on. And that's the thing. The biggest difference between J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams is this. One knows how to respond to adversity. The other, even when he runs right out of the gate and has a lead, and he looks like he's going to run to the finish line, the other, when some adversity pops up, or a speed bump, or a roadblock pops up along the way, he doesn't know what to do. And that's what you see from Caleb Williams. When he gets encountered with some adversity, when he's in a tough environment, he looks like a deer in headlights at times. You know, at times. There was moments down that game where he had wide open touchdowns, wide open throws, and he wasn't even in the same zip code as his wide receivers. It was crazy to just see that decline as the game did go on. And I thought this, look at last year to this year. If you just watched a Bears game last year compared to one Bears game this year, did you really notice much of a difference? It looked like the Bears of last year. Now, I'm not saying Ben Johnson is a bum. I'm not saying Caleb Williams is a bust. But all this talk by Ben Johnson this offseason, and I really had no opinion of Ben Johnson, quite frankly, before he got hired as the coach of the Bears. I said, okay, seems like he's a brilliant offensive-minded coordinator. He'll get a head coaching job. But look at the arrogance of Ben Johnson. He thought he was too good for the Commanders. Look how the Commanders are now, a year plus without Ben Johnson. They were in an NFC Championship game last year. Oh, yeah, by the way, those Commanders walked into Detroit, and they beat the football team that Ben Johnson was the offensive coordinator of. So that was number one. That was where the arrogance started. But I didn't hold that against Ben Johnson because you're being particular, you're being selective and picking a job. But I said, we hear a lot about Ben Johnson, but we really have never heard from Ben Johnson in the national discourse. And how many times did we get told, innovative offensive mind, going to be a brilliant head coach in this league? And for every Sean McVay, or for every Kevin O'Connell, right? These younger coaches in the league that have success, there are other coaches that get tagged and tabbed. Oh, they're going to be great. Oh, they're really sharp, and they become disasters as head coaches. And this has been my biggest gripe with Ben Johnson. And I'm not ready to write the obituary. You know, it's weird. I know it sounds like I hate the Bears. I don't. Bears fans deserve a winner. Bears fans deserve a 4,000-yard passing quarterback. Bears fans deserve some consistency. But Ben Johnson, and I'm not even crushing him for the way that he handled the Commanders, but where he really rubbed me the wrong way were two instances. And I think you get one mulligan, and I gave him a mulligan. But after that, I didn't give him a mulligan on the second time. Like when I golf, right, I serve breakfast balls all day, right? You know, I'm serving up sausage and eggs and bagels because I'll take as many mulligans as I want at times. You know, my friends allow it. But when you're an NFL head coach, I'll give you one mulligan. And the mulligan I gave Ben Johnson, I did not like this answer. When he was sucking up to that fan base in Chicago when he was introduced and he's taking shots at Matt LaFleur. Say what you want about Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur is a damn good head coach. You haven't been a head coach at all. You weren't even a head coach there for 25 seconds before you elected to take a shot at Matt LaFleur. But you know what I said? I'll give him a little mulligan. I don't like it. I don't love the answer. But he's clearly just genuflecting to the home crowd and trying to become, right, the fan favorite where we're the Bears. We can't beat the Packers, but we'll take shots at the Packers. And I'll rest on my resume in Detroit where I beat Matt LaFleur twice or whatever he said. But here's the line that made me incensed with Ben Johnson. Because from a logic standpoint, it makes zero sense. Absolutely, positively zero sense. That guy when the tush push was such a big controversy. And are they going to ban the tush push or are they going to allow the pushing of the tush? Right? When that was a whole big debate, Ben Johnson goes, I'm not in favor of the tush push. Porter goes, oh, why aren't you in favor of the tush push? Well, it's not an explosive play. And then the reporter said, but it leads to touchdowns, it leads to first downs. And he couldn't grasp that concept. Not everything needs to be a trick play that you throw the ball 45 yards down the field or you get a fat offensive lineman, and I love fat offensive lineman, involved, and they're catching the football. I love those things. That makes football entertaining. But you can't make every play that play. And I saw the Philadelphia Eagles with the tush push, it lead to many first downs. It lead to many touchdowns, which those things matter. And, right, you're the coach of the Bears. You can't be selective on how you get a first down or how you get a touchdown, for crying out loud. And that coach, with that arrogant look on his face, he basically said, you know what? It's not an explosive play, therefore that's why I don't like it. And that's when I was out on Ben Johnson. That's when I got the coaching ick with Ben Johnson. And sometimes I get the coaching ick and I'm right, and sometimes I'm wrong, right? I got the coaching ick with Mike McDaniel. I'm right on that. I got the coaching ick with Ryan Day. Ryan Day ended up winning a national championship last year. Couldn't beat Michigan, but won a national championship. So you got to, you know, salute Ryan Day and give him his credit. But Ben Johnson, what you saw last night, when you talk all that bull bleep this offseason, right? When you pass on the Commanders a year ago in an arrogant fashion, then you start off your press conference basically saying, oh, I beat Matt LaFleur. And then you double down on your arrogance or triple down at this point on your arrogance. And you say, oh, I don't like the tush push because it isn't an explosive play. And you're getting particular on when to get a first down and when you could get a touchdown. That's when I was out on Ben Johnson. And you have all that stuff. And what happened in his coaching debut? Got off to a good start. Had a double-digit lead at home. But at the end of the day, he didn't know how to manage his timeouts. He had an ill-advised challenge. And then at the end of the game, it's okay if Stu doesn't know the rule. It's okay if I don't know the rule. It's okay if Santa doesn't know the rule. We're not paid millions and millions of dollars. You are paid millions and millions of dollars to coach the team. So you tell your kicker, kick it deep. Kick it out of the end zone. That's not a good situation. Because you're running your risk that your kicker doesn't kick the ball out of the end zone. You could have onside kicked it. You could have elected to kick the ball out of bounds. What's the difference between 35 and 40? It's a five-yard difference. You got to make sure and do everything in your power that when you already mismanaged the clock because you didn't have your timeouts managed correctly, that you got to be having the Vikings take that first snap before the two-minute warning. Because once the Vikings ran that ball out of the end zone and O'Connell had his guys prepared for the moment, that game was over because they could only stop the clock one other time. So Ben Johnson had all those things in his coaching debut. He looked like a rookie. And it was nice. It was refreshing to see him just get served a slice of humble pie. So those are my takeaways from the game. I thought J.J. McCarthy, his bounce back was damn impressive. Kevin O'Connell ran circles around Ben Johnson. And I think this is a reminder to Bears fans and maybe just that organization that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, they got a long ways to go. They got a real long ways to go. Because Caleb Williams, I'm told he's generational. Right? We got guys like Hickey running around the newsroom here. Ooh, the Bills should trade Josh Allen for Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. Right? I was in the draft process. That's what it ended up turning out to with the idiotic trade that Hickey proposed. And Caleb Williams so far, he's been all sizzle. He's been all talk. And then when you watch him on the field, he doesn't look generational. I'm not saying he looks trash, but he just looks like another dude, not the dude. And all this hype about Ben Johnson and how he's a brainiac and how he's a genius and how he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, Ben Johnson in his debut didn't manage his timeouts correctly. The kickoff at the end of the game didn't go his way, and he blew a double-digit lead at home to a quarterback in J.J. McCarthy that was playing god-awful for 75% of the game, and then he bounced back in a big way. That was a coaching masterclass by Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell. That was great toughness by J.J. McCarthy, and it was pretty damn cool to watch. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. What was your biggest takeaway from the Vikings-Bears game last night? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Based off of Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, who is a head coaching and quarterback duo that you just right now do not believe in? I'll give you my answer on the other side. Samter will give you his answer on the other side. And then also, we will get Stuart Kovac's answer on the other side as well. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Zach Gelb Show. It is the Zach Gelb.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Help show on the Infinity Sports Network. This just came across my desk, and it's actually stunning. I thought it was fake news, if I'm just going to be honest. So I'm not really familiar with the process of the AP poll. Like, I understand, right? A bunch of writers, they have votes, and then determining on how you submit your top 25 and, right, all the total votes that get tallied, then it comes out to the top 25 that we see each and every week. But I don't really ever remember an individual reporter's ballot getting highlighted. So I saw on social media this account, number 18, USF Bowl, Bowl 69. This social media account said, "Can Haley M. Sawyer please explain how the Gators moved up two spots to number 14 in your ballot while USF, who just beat them in the swamp, remains unranked?" So I go, there's no way that this could be accurate, right? How many times does someone accuse me of saying something that I've never said? Or my favorite is when, because I used to host in different time slots, right? Like 2 to 6 a.m., 6 to 10 p.m. Sometimes your local station, because now a lot of things are digitalized in the car, they don't update the schedule. And you could have JR talking from 6 to 10, and JR and I sound nothing alike. Or you could have Shep on the weekends talking, and Shep and I sound nothing alike. And you have, since my name is still on that graphic or still on that time slot, people will then tweet me, "Oh, you said this. What are you, an idiot?" So I go, all right, I'm going to give Haley Sawyer, I don't even know, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. There is no way, right, that you could put Florida at 14, and I gather, move them up two spots and have USF unranked, who's beat now two top 25 teams, right? Beat Boise State to start off the season, smother them, and then beat Florida in the swamp. There's no way, right? And I didn't even know that you could find the individual ballot for the voter, But there's a graphic with all these voters on it, and it shows the 25 teams that you did take. Now, I've voted for some awards before, right? I don't have an AP top 25 vote. I'm not a part of that process, but I have a Heisman vote. And do you know how careful I am with my Heisman vote? When I submit my vote, I triple, a quadruple check. I have the three names that I'm going to pick the night before I'm going to submit it. And then I don't even submit it that night, even if it's obvious to me. I wait until the day of the deadline because I just want to make sure that I cross every T and I dot every I. I want to make sure I get it right. And sometimes you're not going to agree with my opinion. Like last year, I had Ashton Jeanty 1 and I had Travis Hunter 2. Right? Some years that happens. You know, there was one year where Michael Penix was a big debate. So not everyone is always going to agree with your ballot. But there's no justification to make where you put USF outside of the top 25, who's already beat two top 25 teams, and Florida, who lost. How do they move up? You know, last time I checked, Florida wasn't playing Georgia. Florida wasn't playing, I don't know, Ohio State and lost by a field goal. They played USF. They have to fall back. So once again, I don't know the selection process, or as they say in Canada, the process. I don't know that process. So maybe it's a drop-down menu, and she picked Florida when she meant to pick USF. Maybe that was the confusing thought. Well, I just watched 45 seconds of her rambling trying to explain herself, and she was basically just saying nothing that took any accountability or made zero sense to me. You know, it's just like, oh, it's not a life or death situation. A lot of people have votes. So I clicked on her profile account, and she covers USC. So I'm not surprised, right, that she covers USC. But the only logical explanation I could draw, and to be fair, I didn't watch the entirety of the podcast. I'm just following on what's online here and what I'm seeing. But the only logical explanation I have is that this reporter had no clue, right? And I've been there where you're wearing 10,000 different hats, right? I've done the national show, you know, for years now. You're wearing so many different hats. You can't watch everything, folks. But when you have time, and I don't care how late you were up the night before you put your ballot in, when you have time to sit there and go through a ballot, you only need 20 minutes. Look at who you had last week. Search all the scores. See where they are, and then you can move them up bare minimum or down bare minimum. But I'm just going to gather that Haley had no clue that Florida lost to USF. That would just be my guess. So that's the latest with the AP poll. And you know what? Now you have coaches why they freak out about the AP poll. I think for most part, let's be fair here, the AP poll is usually spot on. It's usually accurate. You know, one person messing it up isn't really going to screw over that many people. But you wonder how many people do mess up their ballot. And usually, right, it is fair. It's not the end of the world. The AP poll is fine. But when you have a reporter like that get that so wrong, it really makes you question the process. Now, to be fair, in the actual rankings of USF was ranked 18th this week. So it didn't, her messing it up and keeping it outside of 25 didn't really mess them up, so, you know, all that much. So that's that. Oh, geez, Louise. That's really something, folks. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So off of my best friend, Ben Johnson, and also Caleb Williams, and a disappointing, a gag job game one debut for the two of them together as a duo, let's skip around the room here. Who is a current head coach quarterback duo right now in the NFL that you don't believe in right now? Stu, I'll start it off with you.
All right, I'll actually go out to Seattle, and I will go with Mike Macdonald and Sam Darnold. Now, admittedly, this is probably more not believing in Darnold than Macdonald, but I just saw a lot of that game on Sunday against the 49ers. The 49ers team that's already, you know, starting to have injuries pile up, and he just wasn't impressive for me. I know it's the first game with the new team, with the new system, but the more I think about it and the more I watch last night's game, makes me think that Darnold's 1 year was more Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings than anything else.
Yeah, and you look at Sam Darnold, you know, last year, Macdonald individually, right? First time as a head coach, he was 10-7. 10-7 is pretty damn good. Now, they didn't make the postseason. It's just one of those years. You don't make the postseason, you go 10-7. It happens. I actually believe in McDonald, but you're right. Sam, you look at the situation in Minnesota last year. Jefferson, Addison, Jones, Hockenson, one of the best play callers, if not the best play caller in the NFL, in Kevin O'Connell. I say this all the time. Playing quarterback for the Vikings is like going to a bowling alley and you have the bumpers up. The guy next to you, the bumpers are down. He throws the ball in the gutter. He's screwed. You throw the ball that's supposed to go in the gutter. It bounces back, and who knows, you knock down 6 or 7 pins. Now, Seattle this offseason said goodbye to DK Metcalf. They said goodbye to Tyler Lockett. They do have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who I like a lot. And they have Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. I just don't love the weapons that they had, the way that I used to view Seattle, which was, I'm not saying identical to Minnesota, but a place a year or two ago where you said, wow, look how many weapons Seattle now has. Seattle doesn't have as many weapons as they once did. So I'm not out on McDonald, but Darnold, I'm kind of with you, Stu. I didn't have high expectations for Sam Darnold this year in Seattle. I think like Sam Darnold, the best way to say it, at times he could look like a top 10 quarterback, but he's probably more in that 15 to 20 range with how he'll play away from Minnesota for the rest of his career. Samter, who's a quarterback head coaching duo that you're out on?
I am out on Brian Daboll and Russ Wilson.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. I was out on Brian Daboll a while ago. I thought that he should have been gone already. So I'm surprised that he's even back for another year. But I'm with you. Why start Russ? I mean, it feels like false hope. You're just saying, okay, well, we don't want to give up on the season yet by starting a rookie who may not be ready. Let's throw in the veteran Russ and, you know, hope that it does well. And then once he sucks, we'll throw in Dart. You know, you're giving up on the season already. You might as well just see what your rookie quarterback has already. So I have no confidence in Russ. I've got less confidence in Daboll. I thought it was a mistake, kind of like what the Bears did, drafting Caleb Williams and keeping Eberflus around for one more year. Daboll's a dead man walking. He's a lame duck coach. They're not going to keep him around unless they like have a great season.
No, I think you're complicating it too much. Jackson Dart just has to look serviceable. If Jackson Dart looks serviceable, Brian Daboll got to a second round of the playoffs a few years ago with Daniel Jones as his quarterback. And I know we're all slobbering over Daniel Jones after one game in Indianapolis, but Daniel Jones isn't a good quarterback. So I don't think Daboll's a dead man walking. I don't think he's a lame duck coach, but you can't have this be a disaster this year. And that's the only reason why I think Russell Wilson is starting, because Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, I think they know that John Mara prefers to bring him back next year. But there is a chance that neither are back next year. And if you throw Russell Wilson to the wolves and it looks bad because Russ the last 3 years has been in decline, and then Jackson Dart just gets out on the field, and even if he's not great, but he's just good, that's going to save their job. I think Daboll and Eberflus are a lot different, but Russell Wilson at this stage of his career, he's washed. Like, the highlight of Russell Wilson in the last 3 years is what? Being okay, being solid with the Steelers. I would have rather seen Justin Fields more last year in Pittsburgh. And look at what happened in Denver. They get rid of him. Bo Nix, with the bottom five roster last year, at least on the offensive side of the ball, he took him to the playoffs. So I'm out on Russ. I've been out on Russ. I've been saying start Dart. I have failed to hear from a Giant fan yet why it actually makes sense right now for Russell Wilson to continue to start. And you're seeing it right now. The Giants are already dealing with this. Where Daboll, after the game, he basically was like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. And then he had to come out yesterday and be like, oh, we're starting Russell Wilson. That, it's not a matter of if Dart's going to start this year. It's just when. And I think it's a lot sooner than what you think. All righty. I will get to mine here. My head coach quarterback duo that I do not believe in. And I didn't believe in them to start the season, and I really don't believe in them now. It's Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel, this guy's got to give the worst press conference I've ever heard. And a lot of you were sitting there laughing. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, I get the inside joke. He just said at his press conference the other day, well, it can't get worse. No, it can't get worse. Last time I checked, you weren't going up against a good football team in Indianapolis. What happens when you actually play a good football team? So McDaniel gets too cutesy with the media. He thinks he's a comedian. I don't want a comedian as my head football coach. I'm not saying you got to be a jerk. I'm not saying you got to be a smug a-hole like Belichick was for years. But I don't need someone that gets up there and thinks, right, like he's Shane Gillis. All right? I don't need a cutesy comedian. And then Tua Tagovailoa, he was absolutely lost on the field. You can't tell me Tua was hurt this past weekend. He was lost on the field. And now you got players on the Colts that are talking big. Right? Zaire Franklin joined us the other day. They were only concerned about Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Devon Achane. Xavier Howard, who used to be a Dolphin, he was talking about how they were going to bait Tua. So people don't fear Tua Tagovailoa. So I'm out of Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa. And I'll stand by that, what I told Channing Crowder yesterday. If I'm the Dolphins and I'm trying to save Tua Tagovailoa, you get McDaniel out, and then in this offseason, I go get a little reunion with Nick Saban. And you at least got to scratch that itch and see if he has that itch to coach and if he wants to go back to the NFL. And that's the one thing Saban's failed at. And I know people say, oh, you can't put him back in the Miami Dolphins. Why not? You can. I'm not saying he's going to take the job, but that's a guy that had Tua playing at a very high level. I think you at least have to entertain it because there is no chance Mike McDaniel is back next year. If Mike McDaniel is back next year as the coach of the Miami Dolphins, there's only one explanation for it. It means he's got pictures on Stephen Ross. It is the Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. A prime QB change coming? Maybe, maybe not. We'll get into that on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. All right, it is the Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. This week's player is Bengals safety, Jordan Battle. In Sunday's 17-6 battle over the Browns, the third-year man out of Alabama had 12 tackles and an interception. You never know what the story is going to be on a college football Saturday or a college football week. You never know. Like, you could obviously identify the big storylines, but then there will be some weeks where a USF beats Florida. Then there will be other weeks where you just have a matchup that nobody was talking about or a situation that nobody was talking about. And you may not even be watching the game, but then it pops up all over your timeline. Like, is anyone going to crush us for not talking about Colorado-Delaware last week? Right? Leading into the game, was anyone sitting there chomping at the bit to discuss the Buffaloes up against the Blue Hens? No. Now, Colorado was coming off a loss in week one. It was a fun game up against Georgia Tech. Haynes King played a really good game. But in week two, I'm not sitting there and dying in great anticipation and waiting to see Coach Prime's squad go up against Delaware. I just assume, right, Coach Prime with Colorado, they're going to bounce back and they'll have a nice sizable victory up against Delaware. And I try to keep my eye on as many games as possible, but my focus was elsewhere over the weekend. And I kept on seeing, right, these clips and then these reports that, oh, it was Caden Salter, and then we actually did talk about Colorado leading into the week, into that game, because Coach Prime said, oh, at some point, Julian Lewis will play in the game. Now, Julian Lewis, that big recruit, right, going to replace Shador Sanders, did the big hype-up video, handing over the keys from Shador Sanders to Julian Lewis. So Julian Lewis played in the game. He was 2 of 4 for 8 yards, and when it came to running the football, he had one carry for -8 yards. So Julian Lewis basically did nothing. So Ryan Staub got inserted into the game. He was 7 of 10 for 157 yards and had 2 passing touchdowns. Now, we've been talking Colorado throughout the summer. Colorado throughout the summer, it was really 2 conversations. What is Coach Prime going to be without Shador and without Travis? And then also, who is going to win the quarterback battle? We had people on that covered the Colorado football team. We had people that cover the Big 12. And when we asked them, who's going to win this quarterback competition, you only heard 2 names. The only 2 names that you heard were Caden Salter and Julian Juju Lewis. Right, those are the only 2 names that you heard. Most of us probably didn't even know that Ryan Staub was on the roster. So what did we know about Caden Salter? All right, he's coming over from Liberty, more experienced guy. Juju, there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of sizzle. And the general census was that Caden Salter, because of the experience, was going to win the job. I didn't hear 1 peep about Ryan Staub. And then I see videos of the sideline of Ryan Staub celebrating how great he looks, how awesome he looks. And he's doing, right, the Shador Sanders. Huh, do the Shador Sanders, right? Shout out Rick Ross. And he's doing the celebration with the watch on his wrist and flexing for the cameras. So I'm sitting there, and I'm not watching the game, but I'm seeing highlights of Ryan Staub on X, Twitter. I'm seeing people talking up this kid. And I go, I need someone that's in the know here. So Mike Samford, not Michael Samter, Mike Samford, who's a former college football coach, was actually an interim at Colorado. And he's a friend of the show. He now does radio in the Denver area. And he's also a high school football coach, and he played for Boise State. So I sent him a text. I said, what the heck is happening with Colorado? Did they bench the other two guys, or is this just by design? He says, who the hell knows what the plan is? And I said, LOL. He then said, I will say this, though. Staub is the best guy, but he wasn't the sexy recruit. I don't think the other two quarterbacks are really all that good. That's what Mike Samford said. So then this morning I wake up, Pete Thamel, right, bigwig reporter for ESPN, he reports that Colorado's going to start Ryan Staub over Caden Salter and Julian Lewis on Friday against Houston. Now, I'm sitting here, and am I going to really be honest with you? On Friday night, and I love college football, was I really getting ready when we're going to be in Vegas, by the way? We're going to be in Vegas. We're out there for the show Thursday and Friday. Am I sitting here really getting all jacked up over Colorado and Houston? No. You don't have my attention. Because if it was Caden Salter, I'm really probably not that interested. If it was Julian Lewis starting, okay, let's see how good he could be. But now Ryan Staub, who this has been a two-man race, right? This was Lewis and this was Salter. And they were running all summer long. And as we got closer and closer to kickoff, it was clear that Salter was about to touch the finish line. And you had Julian Lewis behind him. But then miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away behind him was this guy, Ryan Staub. And now Ryan Staub is running and 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 running. And he said, see you, Juju. And now reportedly, regardless as to what Coach Prime says, Ryan Staub is now running past Caden Salter. And folks, this is why you love college football. We spent the whole offseason, Salter or Lewis, Salter or Lewis. And now some guy that most of the country's never even heard of in Ryan Staub, it appears like he's going to start. Now, I miss this. But his post-game interview, the entirety of it, is freaking epic. Here is Coach Prime and Ryan Staub to Fox Sports after Ryan Staub had a really good game up against Delaware.
What did you see out of this guy who came in just before the half and balled out for you?
I saw what I've been seeing at practice for the last few years. Like, this is who he is. This is who he's always been. He just needed opportunity. That's all he needed.
Well, you're a team first guy. You're a backup to Shador. Stayed on this team this year with two quarterbacks coming in. Why?
I had a dream, and I saw something and I just wanted to chase it. I love being here. I love playing for Coach Prime. And man, I'm just so blessed I got the opportunity. All I needed was that opportunity, and we got more work to do.
Took advantage of it. Coach, how are you going to manage these three quarterbacks going forward with Houston next week in Big 12 play?
I got a plan. Like, I had a plan coming into this game. I have a plan. I don't know if I'm going to disclose it until we get to our destination, but I saw what everybody else saw today. Martin Luther Staub, that's what he said. He had a dream, right?
And Ryan, what did you see from your team's performance here in a turnaround from week one?
It was good, but we got to be better. We got to be better. We got to fix a lot of things, and we got to be sharp going into next week, and especially the rest of the season.
Appreciate the time, guys. Enjoy this win at home.
I love this kid, man.
Love you, Coach.
Guys, back to you.
He said Martin Luther Staub.
That's insane. There's a lot to unpack there. Number one, I'm not going to tell you who's going to be our quarterback, but I know what I saw today. If Ryan Staub isn't starting on Friday night at this point, I'll be shocked. And then also, this kid just said, oh, I had a dream. That's why I stayed at Colorado. And then Coach Prime just goes, Martin Luther Staub. That's awesome. That's brilliant by Coach Prime. And then they're kissing. They're going smoochy, smoochy after a win up against Delaware. That is college football in a nutshell, folks. That is Coach Prime in a nutshell, folks. Here is Deion Sanders today. Let me be respectful, Coach Prime, on this report that Ryan Staub is going to be the team's starting quarterback on Friday.
There was a report by Pete Thamel that Ryan Staub is the expected starter against Houston. Are you able to confirm that?
I'm not confirming nothing, y'all. Y'all know that. We ain't like that. We good. We have capable guys. Staub has been doing a phenomenal job doing and getting the majority of the reps, but I haven't made that assessment and decision yet.
I coach.
You know, in today's media, we don't care about being correct anymore. We just want to be first. And there's no subjection to you when you're wrong. Nobody says nothing. You just go with it. I'm not saying that's the case, but that's where we are in media. Nobody gives a darn about being correct and being right. Everybody just want to be first. That don't make no sense to me. I would love the integrity that we once had with media. I would love that.
What? That's his answer? You basically just said Ryan's getting the majority of the reps. You said last week, I know what I saw, but I'm not going to tell anybody. You're smooching with the quarterback. If Ryan Staub doesn't start on Friday, I'd be stunned. I'd be absolutely stunned. And who's even thinking that I would ever have said that sentence into a microphone in week three of the college football season? No one even knew who this guy was. But Coach Prime, I'm not saying that Pete's wrong, but you know, all this stuff, it just matter who's first. It doesn't matter who's right. You're not even really refuting the report. You're really not. Because all the context clues that you keep on giving is that Ryan's going to play. And even though I'm not the biggest fan of Pete Thamel, because I didn't like how he handled the Michigan stuff last year, if I'm just being transparent, he's usually not wrong on this stuff. So someone on your staff then is squealing to Pete Thamel. You know, they got to be Thamel. But, man, you gave me such a gem to Fox Sports, and then you get behind the podium, Coach Prime, and I'm a believer, Coach Prime. And you're going to slam and dunk, and trust me, there's enough reason to dunk on ESPN. That wasn't one of them, though. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Overreaction, proper reaction. Ducks!
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.